Christmas. And that brings us to Matthew 2, verse 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years of age and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would apply it to our lives, apply it to our world, Father, and move us according to your will. Thank you for this opportunity. Touch our hearts with Jesus. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During December, a lot of eyes go toward Bethlehem. And in fact, a lot of people congregate in Bethlehem. Thousands upon thousands go through this tiny little place this time of year because it is the place where the Messiah was born. Interestingly enough, if you take a trip to Israel, you may not go to Bethlehem at all. In fact, many trips do not go to Bethlehem because Bethlehem is not controlled by Israel. It's controlled by the Palestinians. And so you have to get special permission to go to Bethlehem. And as you go to Bethlehem, Jewish guides cannot take you there. You have to have a Palestinian guide. And so you have to change guides at the border and make your trip to Bethlehem. A few years ago, there was a threat in Palestine that was so severe that the mayor of Bethlehem stopped all traffic into the city. Newspapers had headlines, "No Christmas in Bethlehem," because Bethlehem became a place of danger. When Jesus was born, Bethlehem became a place of danger. While we dwell on the wonders of Christmas, and there are many, the events right after Jesus' birth were not cause for celebration. It was a time of fear. There was a godless leader that brought death and destruction to Bethlehem. His name was Herod. In verse 16 it says, "Then Herod." Herod designated himself as king of the Jews. He was not a godly king. Whenever you have rulers that do not rule by God's will, there will be difficulties and there will be pain. That was true then. The same thing is true now. When people do not follow God's will, then there are issues that you are going to have to put up with, and we see those issues in our own society today. Whenever leaders arise that do not know God, that do not follow God, that do not practice what God's word says, then you're going down a path and your nation is going down a path that it does not, where it does not need to go. Herod became very angry, and Herod became controlled by anger. You know, there are some people that live with lives that are so vile, so despicable, that the only way they're going to be of help to anybody is just to die. That was Herod. Verse 19, and his death just cannot come soon enough. In the Old Testament, there was a man named Nabal. Now, Nabal was a pain to King David. Whenever David would do anything, Nabal would be in opposition. So when Nabal died, the Bible says the word came to King David, and his action or reaction to Nabal dying was, "Blessed be the Lord." In Proverbs 10:11, "When the wicked perish, there is shouting." Well, in these verses today, it's too soon to be shouting because Herod is still ruling, and he is a man filled with anger. In him, we see the world's anger. We're faced with anger today. In this past week, we saw the results of people giving in to anger. When people give in to anger, other people can easily get hurt. Herod became angry, and when he became angry, people died. He was known to kill people. He killed his son. He killed his wife. He killed his mother. Herod does the unthinkable in this case. He gets so angry, he's so afraid that someone's going to bother his throne, that he kills or orders to be killed all the children, all the boys who had been born under 2 years of age in Bethlehem. In verse 16, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, he took action. Now the wise men were led by God to go home another way. They weren't really thinking of Herod. They were thinking of just obeying God. Herod was exceedingly angry because he took everything as against himself. Be careful when you let anger control you. When anger controls you, you make decisions you should not make. You do things you should not do. And when anger controls you, your tendency is to say things you shouldn't say. When your volume goes up, your brain goes out, and you often do things that you will later regret. Be careful about letting anger rule you. We need to pray for those in leadership in our nation that they will let their anger go. Anger controlling those in leadership will cause difficulty, greater difficulty in our nation. And some people can't see anything but their own anger. Be careful about letting anger control your life. The anger results in actions being taken that take the lives of small children. Today we see anger rising against Jesus, and we see that throughout the Christmas season in communities saying that you can't have a nativity scene on public property. It's an anger against Jesus. And when we are asked sometimes to do an invocation at an event, they tell us don't pray in Jesus' name because there's anger against Jesus. At this time of year, we should know that Jesus should be exalted as much as any other time. But people try to bar Jesus, try to put Jesus aside. People let anger have its way. Now Herod's anger reminds us of the anger of our world. Herod hates Jesus so much that he's willing to kill innocents in order to get to Jesus and destroy Jesus. He's mistaken. He thinks he has power to destroy Jesus. All the terrorists in this world cannot destroy the gospel message. Now, wicked people will try, but wicked people can't stop Jesus. Remember when Jesus was taken from the cross, he was sealed in a tomb, a big stone was rolled across the door, the Romans set a guard there, and they were there to watch that tomb. But that stone couldn't keep Jesus in, those guards couldn't keep Jesus in, because no one has more power than Jesus himself. And 3 days later, he showed the victory. Herod's anger shows a vicious world. It shows a violent world. If you let anger run its course, it will turn to viciousness, it will turn to violence, and we have seen that recently in our nation. In verse 16, he was exceedingly angry and sent forth to slay all the children in Bethlehem from 2 years of age and under, according to the time he diligently required of the wise men. Herod did the math. He killed all the babies in order to stop one child. Some have said this wasn't a big deal. Some theologians have written that it couldn't have mattered very much. How many babies could there have been in Bethlehem? Bethlehem was a very small community. It's small now, but it was much smaller then. At most, there could have only been 15 to 20 children. What difference could that really make? Well, let me say, if you are the parent of one of those children, it made a great deal of difference. Every child is precious, and every baby matters. How many babies is it okay to kill? One is way too many. Can you imagine the terror that was in Bethlehem? Here's a young couple. They have their precious baby, and they're thinking about who the baby looks like, and they're cooing at the child when all of a sudden soldiers break in, grab that child, and slit the child's throat. They literally went door to door killing children. And we think, how barbaric. But I got to remind you, in America, the same thing is being done. In America, there are people knocking on doors killing babies. Pro-abortion is a move to kill innocent children. Babies are being murdered in America at the rate of 1 million a year. And each one matters. Oh, I know the political cries. It's, a woman has the right to protect her own body. I totally believe that. I totally believe a woman has the right to protect her own body, and she should be cautious to protect her body. But when you move to talking about abortion, you stop talking about the woman's body, and you're talking about a child's body. Who's going to stand up for that child's body to protect it? There are those that are trying to destroy children, trying to destroy families. Even alcohol moves to destroy families. Intoxicants now everywhere move to destroy families. You see, you have a husband and wife that can't be parents together because they can't stand to be in the same household because alcohol has taken over the life of one or the other, or both. Or today, people are legalizing marijuana, and marijuana takes the place of alcohol as the intoxicant of choice. And sometimes it's not even marijuana, because opioids are everywhere, and that takes over the family. And when a family spends food money on something to get high, it robs from that child. It harms that family. So we have kids that go hungry because their parents are too selfish to make sure the child is cared for. Children are harmed by child pornographers that move to take the innocence of a child and harm that child. We have children that grow up and they begin to listen to music, and today's music is so vile. There are things in lyrics that are broadcasted publicly today that would not have even been said in any kind of company just a few years ago. And those kind of messages that promote immorality, that promote intoxicants, that promote suicide, only hurt children. Certainly, perverse television or movies only hurt children. Things that people were arrested for going to see just a few years ago is now piped into people's homes freely. It can be damaging to children. The amazing thing in this old world is you take believers that believe the Bible, those that stand against aborting babies, we stand against intoxicants, that can control and damage the home. We stand for traditional marriage between a man and a woman. We're called the ones that are crazy. An angry world turns to things that are not reasonable. So we find an angry world in this passage. This world talks not only about anger, it talks about agony. Children are slaughtered. In verse 17, in Ramah was the voice heard, Rachel weeping for her children. This is a quotation of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah looked at the sin of the people of God, and he was aware they were going into captivity, and he issued a message of sadness. You know, when people of God see people moving away from God, it brings sadness. When Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he saw this city that he loved, this city that he came to die for, people that he came to save who had rejected the only path they would have to God, the Bible says that Jesus wept. Well, there was sadness in Bethlehem because of the death of children. The cry, Ramah. Ramah was 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. Why was that a place of sadness? It was the place where all the Jews had to go to report to be taken into captivity. Ramah means lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. Matthew takes this from Jeremiah, applies it to this situation in Bethlehem. He's saying that the loss of a child, the loss of any child, is a sad event. The loss of children who do not know Jesus is even sadder. When there comes a time that a child reaches the age of accountability, they know the difference in right and wrong, but they have not been taught that there is a Savior. There is sadness in that. I praise God for a church that's going to continue to put the gospel out to families and to children. I'm thankful for Awana that gets the gospel out on Wednesday nights to children. I'm thankful for our youth ministry that's getting the gospel out to certainly children that don't want to be called children, but to our teens. And I'm thankful for those ministries, and I pray that they will continue, and I pray that they would grow, because we got to get the gospel to them, because the reality is when a person comes to the age of accountability and they reject Jesus Christ, their future is a place called hell. Losing a child at any age is horrible. Losing a person's soul is even more so. We're living in a society that is throwing children away. My friend, I encourage you, pray for children. When you see the turmoil going on into our nation's capital, I encourage you, pray for children. Pray for children, pray for families. It should be a constant thing that we are doing. Pray for churches to stand up with the gospel so people will know what God's way is, so children may not be lost. There's a sadness in the loss of children, and it's even greater when there is a loss of comfort. Rachel weeping for her children who would not be comforted. Many people are crushed by sadness, and they can't find anyone to comfort them. You know, that's the beauty of a church family. When there is a need, we rush to that need. We try to hold each other up. We stand alongside one another. We pray for one another. We seek to encourage one another. And when the day is over and the next day comes, we're still going to be there. That's what a family should do. That's what a church family should do. Be there to give comfort, to give encouragement. We're in a world that doesn't know which way to turn. It is obvious Washington doesn't know which way to turn. We need to let them know there is a Savior who cares, and that's where everyone needs to turn. In Luke 13, Jesus deals with tragedies, and he says, when it comes to tragedies, don't judge the victims. A lot of people look at the people that are victims, and they try to reason out how they're at fault. Don't judge the victims. The Scripture encourages you not to judge God. Don't blame God. God loves you. If you need proof that God loves you, look at the cross. For God sent His own Son for you. If you have to judge anyone, may I encourage you to judge your own heart. See if there is any sin in your life. Bring your life to Jesus, ask Him for forgiveness, and allow Him to meet you there and to comfort you there and to deliver you from your own sin. There is agony anytime people turn away from God and God's way. But there is the world's answer. In verse 18, we see weeping and mourning. You know, you see passages like this and you just kind of have a pause and you wonder what it's there for. And the Holy Spirit, when you see these passages, just tells us, keep on reading. This isn't the end. This isn't the final note that you need to hear. In Jeremiah 31, we have an example. In 31:15, it says, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. And God says, keep on reading. That's not the end. And so you keep on reading in verse 16, and it says, thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, and they shall come again from the land of captivity. Here is the message that God would have you know. If you do anything for Jesus, if you hold up God's word, if you comfort one another, if you give a cup of water in His name, you will be rewarded. God will not forget what you do in His will. God will not forget what you do on His behalf. You will be rewarded for all that you do. Your prayers will be answered. There's hope for your sorrows. That is what Christmas is all about. When we are lost in a world of sin, when we have sinned and disobeyed God, and there is no hope because of our sinfulness, Jesus came. And He came not to stay in a manger. He came to go to a cross to die for you and for me, to give us deliverance, to give us hope, to give us peace, to give us comfort. And it is there for you, not for a day, not for a week, not for a year, but forever. There is hope for your sorrows. There is a lifting in God for your tomorrows. We must turn to our Lord God. The Bible says, the Lord is my refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Well, our nation is in trouble. We need to turn to Jesus. We need to focus on Him. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, God comforts us in any trouble. In Psalms 147:3-4, He heals the brokenhearted and binds their wounds. He tells the number of stars and calls them by name. You know, men cannot number all the stars, but God has all the stars numbered and He has a name for them all. But better yet, He knows you and He knows your name. And He knows all about you. And He has a purpose for you because God has a plan for each of us. And He wants to bring comfort and He wants to bring blessing and He wants to bring direction. And He can only bring it to you if you're willing to accept it and follow His way. Jesus can heal the brokenhearted. And I want you to hear this. Jesus can heal a broken America. Rachel was the wife of Jacob. Now, Jacob had a lot of problems. Jacob had trouble with his brother. He wanted to marry Rachel. They switched women on him, and he ended up being tied to someone else. He finally marries Rachel, and they could not have children. Jacob gets right with God, and then his wife dies. Rachel got sick in childbirth. Knowing she's going to die, she names the child Son of Sorrows. Son of Sorrows. Jacob changes his name to Benjamin, Son of My Right Hand. Rachel, perhaps knowing that she was going to die, reaches out to the Messiah's birth. Son of Sorrows. Jesus would be called Man of Sorrows. For He would come to die for your sin and mine. And Jacob looks not to his birth, but looks to the victory of Jesus and calls him the Son of my right hand. For Jesus is the Son of God's right hand who brings deliverance and victory and a way for you to know God. Jeremiah says, there is hope. They're in captivity, but they will come again. There is hope. And the scripture says, in Jesus, there is hope. The Christmas message that changes everything is that God became man and dwelt among us, and because of that, there is hope. God did not only come to visit, God came to die, and Jesus went to Calvary's cross to forgive your sin and my sin, and because he's willing to forgive us by his own blood, there is hope. And Jesus was taken from the cross. He was placed in the tomb. And because he did not stay in that tomb, but came out victorious, there is hope. And even when you breathe your last here, when you say goodbye to this old world, if you have Jesus as your Savior, there is hope. And when you stand by that grave, and you see your loved one lowered into the ground, and you know they have Jesus, and you have Jesus, hey, you're not leaving them there. They're not even there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and because they're with God, and you're going to go to be with God, you will see them again, and there is hope. And so for a nation's government that can't figure out which way is up, for people that are turning to anger instead of turning to God, we need to point people to Jesus, for in Jesus alone there is hope. If you've never met Jesus as your Savior, then that's where you need to turn today. You need to invite Jesus to come into your heart and to save your soul. And if you will do that, you will find the hope that will not pass away. And if you are a Christian, you already know Jesus. Don't let this world's fears take your joy away. Know in your God there is hope. The same Jesus that died for you, the same Jesus that was buried and rose again for you, the same Jesus that will take you to glory one day, can care for you today, and there is hope. Let's put everything in his hands. Let's trust him with this land. Let's trust him with our lives and how we're going to live. And let's walk by his word in his way. Let's tell others that he is the way. Point people to Jesus, and they will find that hope too. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, right now I ask that you would search our hearts, Father, the hearts of everyone listening. Lord, if there is anyone there that doesn't have Jesus as their Savior, they've never invited Jesus to forgive their sins and save their soul, I pray that in this very moment, Father, they would do that exact thing. They would just ask you to allow Jesus to come into their heart, to forgive their sin, to save their soul. And Father, having done that they will let it be known that they have Jesus. And Father, for those of us that know you, oh Lord, forgive us for where we have failed you. Forgive us, Father, for where we have turned away from you. Forgive us from where we have failed to share the hope of Jesus with others. And God, as you forgive us, I pray that you would direct us, that we would not look into a world without hope, but we would see your power, your love, your glory, and the hope that you give us. And Father, that we would share it with a lost world. Thank you for all that you will do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now today you have those cards where in your seats. I ask that you would fill them out. That's how we know where you are and where others are. In case anybody does get the virus, we can alert everyone. But on the back of that card, If you would like to become part of our church family and you know Jesus as your Savior, just write the word join down. We'll be in touch with you and we'll take care of that for you, and we'd love to have you in our family. If you don't know Jesus but would like to know him, just put a check mark on that card and we'll be in touch with you and we'll share with you how you can know Jesus. In fact, we'd be glad to talk to you now. There's someone in our prayer room ready to talk with you, to pray with you, and we'll be here immediately after our benediction. If you're online, we encourage you to email us or call us. Let us know that you want to know more about Jesus. We'll be glad to pray with you, to talk with you, and to let you know about the hope we have in him. I hope you'll have a great week. Trust in Jesus. Let others know that there's a victory ahead in him. And have a great week. See you later.
Was redeemed, only beauty remains. And my orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over. I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over. Rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over. You have made
just bow at his feet.